Kia ora and welcome to the C Word Radio, the podcast for cancery people who want real conversations about cancer. I'm your host, Helen King. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find good podcasts. Hello, my friends. It is great to have you with me for this episode of the C Word Radio. Today's episode, I'm really looking forward to you listening to because I feel like it's very timely given what we're going through, but also a topic that does come up time and time again when I interview guests for the podcast. Before I get into that, I do want to get a little bit of housekeeping out of the way. Head over to my Instagram or Facebook page and check out the This Is Breast Cancer campaign. It has been going so well. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, basically I have collected over 31 now experiences from people who have had breast cancer from all over the world. And I'm just focusing on their stories one a day throughout October just to really highlight that breast cancer isn't the pink fluffy, pinktober thing that we are presented with every October. I have really enjoyed doing it and it is getting a great response in terms of people commenting and really connecting in with the experiences of the amazing participants who have really shared some really vulnerable stuff. So please head over, give it some love, comment, let the people know that, you know, you love what they've written, because it is not easy making yourself vulnerable and sharing what is often one of the most devastating things that will happen in your life. I also need your help. Nothing major. Don't worry, I'm not asking for a kidney. I have entered in the first New Zealand Podcast Awards, and one of the categories that I entered was Crowd Favourite. Now, there are a lot of amazing shows that are up in this category. If you love the show and you would like to support me, please head along to the link that I will provide below. In the information section, you just need to put the name of the podcast, and it is The C Word Radio. I would love your support. And I will let you know how I go. If you enjoy what you hear on the podcast or other episodes that you have listened to, I do have a Ko-fi page, and I'm offering membership levels at the moment because I really want to get into a position where I can set up more of a community, whether that's on Facebook or on other platforms where we can come together as a community, as a support, and help each other through treatment or help each other navigate post-cancer life. Because I don't know about you, but post-cancer life is sometimes harder than the actual treatment. So I will leave all that information in my show notes. Today's episode is also going to be my last for a few weeks before I have a much needed break. I'm tired. I am tired. I don't know how else to explain it. But yeah, I don't know about anyone else, but this pandemic life is tiring, man. So today's episode then is perfect to be talking about, because today I am talking with an amazing woman, Natalie Woodman, who is based in London and her background is in physiotherapy. But we talked today about burnout, and I feel like a lot of my guests have experienced it. I know I did. I know that I was going through a lot of stuff leading up to my cancer diagnosis, and it does seem to be a theme with especially women that I meet that have had cancer, that they'd experienced burnout at some point in their life. Natalie is no different. She has not had cancer, but she has experienced burnout, and she now runs transformational body coaching and mentoring for women. She encourages women to reconnect with their bodies and just to embrace ourselves and to treat ourselves with the loving kindness that we all deserve. Natalie and I actually sat down 2 months ago, and I know it's 2 months ago because it was the day after Auckland had gone into the current lockdown, and so it was all feeling a bit weird. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Get in touch and let me know if you have had this experience as well. In the meantime, I will see you in a few weeks. If you miss me and you want more cancer conversations and content, you can listen back to past episodes or come say hi on Facebook and Instagram. Enjoy the episode. Natalie, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me. It's such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Helen, and thank you so much for having me and the opportunity to be here with your amazing audience. I'm really grateful.
Oh, lovely. So you are in the UK, and you've just come out of a lockdown, and we are just going into lockdown.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. Yes, that makes so much sense. Yes, we have just come out. It has been wonderful to come out the other end of another lockdown.
Yeah. Ours has just happened overnight. It all happened very quickly. So New Zealand has woken up to back to what we call level 4 lockdown. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I feel it for you.
Yeah. Yes.
I feel it with you.
Oh, yeah. It's really weird that this is now part of life. Yeah.
It is, isn't it? It is really strange. Yeah. I did find it really strange where you don't get to see your friends. But I think during lockdown for me, it meant that I actually had this opportunity to go inside. And to, there was so much less distractions. Life outside is one big distraction that means that we don't always have to focus on what's going on inside.
Yeah.
For the past year and a half, I thought, oh, well, why not? Been given an opportunity here. How am I going to best use this time that serves me well?
Wow.
And so that's how I used it. And I literally just went deep. I just did loads of inner work, loads of spiritual, worked on my body, worked on mindset, worked on health.
Oh.
And yes, I'm still working. I'm working from home. The focus of work, having your soul focus, wasn't there during lockdown, which meant that I could allow, I guess, more pockets of my time to be focused on myself and my own body. And I think since that, everything has changed because there's no way I can go back to the way I was, the person I was, or even the way I handled or did things before lockdown. There's just no way because too much has changed. And I think I've realized the significance and the importance of self-care, but also the value of what it has on my health, on my mindset, on my nervous system, on everything, on how I show up, on what I have to share with everyone. Yeah. So it's been profound. I don't know what your case has been, but yeah, it's been interesting.
I'd really love to unpack that a little bit. For me, there's definitely been some shifts, and I really resonate with what you say in terms of work not so much being the focus. I think lockdown, a lot changed for me as well. I don't think you can go through. It's like having cancer, you go through this profoundly huge thing and something will shift or change. And I think what it did for me is I started thinking about actually how do I want my life to look? What do I want to be doing with my time? So that certainly resonates with me. Talk to me about what was Natalie like before lockdown? So what was going on that, I guess, preceded that shift?
Well, a lot happened, probably to go back a little bit more before that. Probably about, I expanded my clinic. I had a big physio clinic in about 2011. And that's when I started to have a lot more health crises because the stress was just so much. I expanded the business. I took on much. I had a massive team. And with that came the pressure of wanting to succeed, but also work-life balance came completely out of whack. So working too much, not enough work-life balance, not sleeping enough. And then, I had certain health crises along the way and I'm like, okay, no, something's got to give. This is not normal. And then I started to restructure things within my business. Fast forward to about 3 years ago, and actually I ended up closing down my massive practice, and I literally just streamlined things such that I had more work-life balance. Stress was so much less, which meant that I could actually not worry as much because worry and stress was those were the two things that they just messed with my health significantly. So I just focused on how could I restructure things. And then I kept streamlining things bit by bit with each year that passed. And I'm so grateful for that, because I think doing all of those pre-steps leading up to lockdown meant that I was in a fortunate position to not have to worry about massive overheads. I'd streamline my business in a way that I could move things and just do things from my home. So I think that really helped. So pre-COVID, I was still working 5 days a week, but maybe around between 8 and 10 hours a day. It would vary. Yeah. So still quite a bit, even though I was running my own business. I would enjoy going out. I had good like work balance, but I guess my definition of self-care was significantly different before COVID compared to after COVID. And I guess my work-life balance definition before COVID and after COVID was different. So before COVID, I was working 8 to 10 hours. During COVID and post-COVID, I usually work between 4 and 6, you know, a day, 4 hours. And then the other time is spent on meditating, going out for a walk every day, self-care, making sure that my nutrition is good. Before COVID, my nutrition was always something that was good. So I'd always make sure that I wake up an hour and a half before my day would start, and I'd prep all my smoothies, snacks, lunch, so that I knew that from the inside, my body was getting the fuel that it needed so that I could show up and help and serve in the best way that I could. But I guess I didn't always prioritize myself in the same way before COVID as I do now. So now I wake up in the morning and I'll meditate every morning, and I meditate every evening, and I have a morning self-care routine, and I have a definite evening self-care routine. And if I deviate off that, say for instance, I have an early morning appointment, I can really feel the differences in how I show up and how I feel, because having the time to meditate or journal and start my day off, as I now call it, makes a massive difference to my spirit. I'm just happy from the inside out, and nothing can stop that. But if I don't have the opportunity of centering myself, of really connecting on the inside, then something feels off or different. Can't quite explain it, but I have noticed that shift and different. So now making sure that I have that time to almost fill myself up first in the morning. Sleep is a part of that. But, you know, when I wake up, that next chunk of time, that's also part of how I fill myself up so that I can serve better and, yeah, give my best. So I hope that answers your question.
Oh, no, it does totally. And I was listening to something the other day, and I've been trying to think in my head, gosh, what were they saying? Because they were talking a little bit about self-care and work balance and those sorts of things. And they were saying, they said, it wasn't so much that you need work balance, but it needs to be work-life alignment. I'm going to need to find out what that word was. But what I really like about this idea is self-care isn't necessarily, oh, I'm having a bubble bath or those sorts of things. I like what you said there, in a sense of self-care is often putting yourself first. It can be saying, actually, working this amount, really not good for me, or I'm going to say no to doing that thing because I'm really tired and I don't want to do it. I'm really stretched. And I think that discussion around self-care balancing sort of needs to shift a little bit, because I think it is deeper than what, you know, and I think especially if you have been through a health crisis, that
absolutely
it actually has to shift quite profoundly. So I like that. I think that's it's a good point to raise.
It's big, because I think, like for me, like I had, before COVID, I had a really good connection with my knowing or my intuition, and I thought I was in alignment with where I was meant to go. But these past 18 months, I'm like, I have the opportunity, let me go deep. And what came out of that was just the most profound things, was that actually my body was saying, you're still working too hard. This is still too much. This is not in alignment with what we think is the right balance. And it's fascinating because when now I'm living and working from a heart-centered place, I actually achieve so much more in the day in 4 hours compared to what I achieve in 8 hours, but stressed or worrying about the fact that rolling to-do list or anything like that. Now I'm just like, there is no to-do list. There isn't one. And the more I can come from the space of my heart and show up in that space and know that what I'm sharing is in alignment and is truth, everything else is so much easier. There's no much of the self-doubt or the worry. And I think those are the things that actually affect our health the most. The self-doubt, the judgment, the shame that is the creates the most harm on the inside. And so I think the more we can come into alignment with our yes and our no, i.e. between from the heart and the head and the body and your gut, then if you can get everything into alignment, singing off the same hymn sheet, then life is just so much easier and there's more energy that gets freed up to use for something creative or something joyful or something that you want rather than what we don't want.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. And I was, oh, so much just going up as you're talking. I'm like, Because what came back to me was I remember, because a little bit about me. So when I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2018, I was 37 at the time. And I had just been through these years where it was so stressful. All these things happened. My marriage had ended. I had gone back to a job that I always likened to, because I was a journalist, and that really was not good for me at all in so many ways. And so actually, when I was diagnosed, I'd been through burnout. I was probably still in burnout. And so that journey and process of healing is ongoing, because I think I have these years and years or a lifetime of thoughts to let go of. And when I was in treatment and having chemo and things, and I did really start thinking about how do I need to be living, because my body has been screaming at me for years and now it's really put its foot down.
Yeah.
And what I think has been the challenge is that our world and I guess society is not set up for slow living. We are encouraged to produce and to be constantly doing and achieving and those sorts of things. And it has been really hard because it's been 3 years and I'm still doing this. We're trying to figure out how to let go of those expectations, how to let go and be okay with living in a certain way, because it's just not set up for that. We're not encouraged to, as you say, be heart-centered, and we're not encouraged to really listen to intuition and listen to our bodies. So I think it's such a, it's such a profound point to say, we need to get to a point where you say, what is my body telling me and how do I listen to it?
Yeah. So true. And actually, my journey with that, listening to my body, started when I had burnout, when I first opened up, when I expanded my practice as well, because I'd wake up in the morning and go, how much energy do I have today? Oh, I'm at a 5. So I'd literally scale it. Am I at 5? 5 out of 10? How close am I to 10? Anything over 5 means I can give. Any 5 and under, there's nothing in the tank to give to anyone. And so I would literally go through the day, start of the morning, how much energy do I have? Okay, how does that change when I have my breakfast? And so that started my journey with really becoming finely tuned and aware, you know. And after each client, I'm like, okay, or each connection that I had, okay, am I more depleted or am I more energized after that appointment or after that connection. And so I started to reevaluate which connections actually drained me more, which connections served, which connections didn't serve. And it meant that I actually restructured my life so that whatever drained me got taken off the plate, and whatever was nourishing, which was mutually beneficial, which was uplifting, which was energizing, got to stay. And it meant that my body could heal physically because I was setting my environment up such that it wasn't making it harder for that to take place. But as you say, it's a journey, because as an entrepreneur, there's certain things that I still had to do, even though I didn't want to do them. It would be a negotiation or like a dance. And okay, what can I do today? Can I put it off tomorrow? And then comes the next lesson of what is really crucial. What is my definition of crucial, right? Or what is society's definition of what's crucial? And so I started to test the theory. Can that wait 2 days? Can that wait a day? You know, can it wait 5 days? And so I started to have a sliding priority scale so that I didn't pressurize my body to over-deliver. So the over-delivering part, that was the next thing to go. And the over-pleasing, that was the next thing to go. And actually healthy boundaries with starting to say no to more things. Actually, no, sorry, I can't do that. And feeling comfortable because I knew that it was going to be helpful, supportive, nourishing, and it was going to help my body heal. And so I think for anyone who really wants to stay healthy, I think we really need to have that good connection with our own gut knowing, with our own intuition, with our heart. You know, what does the heart want? Because very often the head gets to lead the story, doesn't it? And I think for so long, my head, my inner critic, my really harsh inner critic, used to be in the driver's seat. And she gets to be in the passenger seat now. And I hear her, but she doesn't get to have a voice. And so I help other women do that as well, because I think it's so important. I think in society, it's so easy the way things have been set up where everything has to be perfect. But my goodness, what is perfect? What is perfect? And it's a never-ending vicious cycle where we're like on a hamster wheel trying to please or be pleased with something that is never, it's never meant to actually be done. And I think the more we can let go of that definition of what's perfect and just show up as we are authentically, the happier we can be. So I think that's one of the biggest things for me.
Now let me tell you about Sweet Louise, the only charity dedicated to supporting Kiwis with incurable breast cancer. They provide practical help like meal deliveries, one-to-one emotional and group support for over 760 women around the country. Right now, they really need your help. With no government funding, COVID has made things challenging for this little charity with a big heart. To make your donation, please visit sweetlouise.co.nz. Thanks so much.
Because I've spoken to, I used to speak to lots of different people, and I really have noticed a theme with women, especially who have gone through cancer, is they've experienced burnout, or they've experienced extreme stress, or, you know, there are so many pressures, whether someone is a mother or they're in their career or they're this and that, and that perfectionism. And then you go through this massive thing like cancer where you are really focused on the medical, which you need to be. You're facing this enormous illness. Yeah. And then people go, oh, you're better now. After pressures, and you think, no. Like, my body has been decimated in my mind. I'm a mess. You know? And I think that we forget that actually healing, yes, our bodies start to heal because they're not being pumped full of chemo or radiation and things. But the healing is often, that heart stuff, because your head has to lead you through chemo and things because it's that sort of situation. But it's, yeah, that afterwards can be really challenging because you're faced with this expectation that you're better now. And you're so far from better that it's just...
Wow.
Yeah.
People actually say that. Are you better now?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so you're finished. So the cancer's in remission. So it's all, you know, those, there's a full stop on that sort of thing. And I understand it because cancer is this very scary thing. And I guess this is one of my sort of passions is sort of helping people understand that, yeah, we go through the treatment, but it's far from over at the end because actually the hard stuff starts. Because you're having to, often you're having to reevaluate and you're having to navigate this new body or not being able to do the things that you did before. And it's this huge, it's this huge process. And it's really hard to find places to just be okay with that or to find out, well, how do I do this? How do I heal? How do I process what has happened? And I'm certainly not there yet. I have let go of a lot of things and tried to accept things. But at the same time, I think I'm still trying to navigate and figure out what does healing mean? What do I need to be doing that is actually really honouring myself? Yeah.
That's a great question. That's a good question. I think I can't speak from a cancer perspective. What I can speak to is, I think, healing on all levels, like physically, emotionally, mentally, happens when we allow ourselves to feel. When we connect in, yes, we can do that through the heart, but even just getting connected to the body itself, because what I've learned through my own journey and working with other people is that this energy gets stuck within the cells, in the cellular memory, in the energetic body, and that also needs to be shifted. Even though we're working on the body physically, there's that we need to be working on too. But I think it's easy to just focus on the physical and think about what we've got to be doing. But I really feel that it's even more important to feel. Because the more you can feel, the more you can connect with your heart. You can feel discomfort in different areas of your body. You can breathe into those areas. And then you can shift and move the energy that's stuck. And I firmly believe that the body is like a roadmap. It gives us information. It's either a whisper or it's a shout. And it's up to us if it's a whisper or a shout. And the more we feel, the more we connect, the more aware we are, the more we listen, we can connect with the whispers and go, okay, you're trying to tell me that. Okay, let me figure out, what are you trying to tell me? But if we override it and we just focused on, let's go, then the body has to shout at us, which means things have to get more extreme before we start to pay attention.
Oh, yeah. I had this conversation actually with another guest and we were talking about grief and we were talking about that same thing where actually the fundamental thing here is that we need to allow ourselves the space to feel. Yeah. That's unfortunately what we need to do. And I think even at the moment here in New Zealand, being back in a lockdown or wherever you are in the world, actually, whether you're coming out of a lockdown or COVID has had this huge impact globally. And I don't know what it's like in the UK, but I feel like in New Zealand, we haven't acknowledged that we're going through it. It's not over, but there has been a profound thing that's happened and a lot of us are stressed and are having those feelings. And actually what would be a loving thing to do is let yourself feel whatever's going on. But I think we have a tendency just to go, we'll just push that to a side.
Keep going.
Yeah, we'll just keep going. Because that works really well.
I hear you. Oh, yeah, I totally get it. I think on one hand, if you're so used to working and you've got to show up and you're like, it's so inconvenient to feel the side now. Like, now's not the right time. But then when is the right time? There's never a right time. So I'm empathic, so I feel quite deeply. And before, I always used to try and dampen down how much I felt because it was too overwhelming. Because other people, what they feel energetically, and I've had to figure out how I use that gift, how I work with it. And I no longer turn off feeling because I'm like, that's not healthy for me and that's not helpful in any way. And so that was something that I had to work with my own body again. Feeling is important. And it's okay to be show emotion. And as women, to me, vulnerability is strength. It's never a weakness. And showing emotion is also not a weakness. And, you know, I have amazing female mentors who actually modeled that so beautifully for me. I'm like, oh my God, wow. Oh yeah. Vulnerability is a strength. That is sexy. Hell yeah. And I think the more vulnerable, well, and authentic, let's just say authentic, speaking the real truth from your heart, from your soul, I think then everything shifts. I think the less we can suppress of what is really burning to get out there, the healthier we are on the inside, provided it's coming from a loving place. I think, yeah, that's just my take on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. I really struggle with feelings. I've always struggled with feelings. I'm someone who finds it intensely hard to really articulate and express how I feel. And for a long time, I knew what anger was. I could be really angry. And I think anger often energizes and propels us in it. Yeah. But actually, there's only so long
you can be angry. Yeah.
And so it's a definite challenge. And I'm getting better at it, of saying things like, oh, I actually feel really sad today. And that's why I'm a bit grumpy, or, oh, actually there's some feelings going on. And that's why I'm a bit, I don't know, agitated or don't want to sit still. And I think that if you haven't been taught how to be okay with your feelings, it's a really difficult lesson to learn as an adult as well, of being okay with being really angry. Or, and I think cancer is a great example of this, where you get exposed to a lot of toxic positivity because people will be like, oh, you can do this, you've got this, and you'll beat it. And, you know, we've talked a lot recently on the podcast about it, where actually you need to have space for both. You need to open up space to be like, I'm really bloody angry that this has happened. Mm-hmm. And also, yes, I want to be positive and think, you know, mm-hmm, I can do it. But you're actually allowed to hold both.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I guess unless you really process the anger, you can't sit in the positive space. You need to be allowed to feel and own that. And I think what's so beautiful is it's emotional intelligence, isn't it? It's like going, oh, I am angry today. But also you're acknowledging it to yourself. You're like, ah, oh, yeah, I feel off. Something is shifting within me and I get to celebrate that, right? It just depends on which lens we look at it. So now, when I feel a little bit frustrated, I'm like, oh, I need to go for a walk. Or, oh, okay, where's this coming from? Something's moving. Let's celebrate it, because it is, right? And I believe that things happen in waves. So if we think ourselves like, no, we release one layer and then we're going through and everything's normal. And then, oh, okay, I'm feeling a bit sad. Where did that come from? Again, another layer's come up to be released or processed. But it's just, it's allowing that to kind of be, right? And celebrating it. So now I celebrate it. I'm like, yes, there's another layer I get to take off.
Yes. Oh, gosh, yes. And it's uncomfortable. I relate to that as well. And I think at the moment, even things like, there's horrific things happening in Afghanistan, for instance. Yeah. And then there's COVID, and then there's this, that, and the other. And I think if you are an empathic person, that can start to feel like a lot. And it's, yeah, finding that boundary of where am I going to start to look after myself because I can't save the world, and actually how do I nurture myself during this moment. And it's great to have this conversation because it's something that I constantly have to remind myself of. How do you need to nurture yourself? What is going on in your body? Because it's not natural to me, to be honest. A lot of the stuff is not natural to me to, yeah, really put myself first. And I was talking to someone yesterday actually about this, where I think a few months before I was diagnosed with cancer, I was really like, I could feel, and this is going to sound a bit odd, but I could feel something weird happening at a cellular level. Like my body felt toxic, I think is the right word. It felt, because so much had happened, that there was just all this sort of grief and trauma and all of that sort of thing. So there was something weird going on in my body. And I went on this holiday and, oof, man, I was just full of anxiety the whole time. And it was this crazy holiday. And I went up further up north of the North Island here in New Zealand, and I was at this beautiful place and I met these people who had moved there, and he was teaching yoga and she did neuropathy and she was a naturopath, and he had been a journalist as well and decided, no, this is not the life for me. And I can remember thinking at the time, I'm just not the sort of person who's going to become a yoga teacher. That's not me. I was thinking, is this the only way people, can change their life? And I don't know what I can do that would do that. And I think the most amazing thing for me is that this is what I'm doing now, is setting things up so I am like that yoga teacher in a way where I don't work well in an office. So I no longer work in an office.
And, but you need to celebrate.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate it with a passion. I'm not an office worker. And the cancer and everything else has really impacted me, and I find it very hard to work normal job, normal hours. And so I'm very lucky that I have skills and things. I've gone, how can I do this and make some money, which we all need to do, but start to really set up. I have the time and space to do the things that, yeah, is that heart stuff, is that nourishing. And I'm not, in no way am I good at this at the moment, but I can feel it moving and shifting. Even things like, we have two very active dogs and they have to be walked. You have to take them out with our bonkers. And we are really lucky in the city that I'm in that we are surrounded by these amazing, I guess, mountain ranges that we can go for walks. And for me, that's where I fill my cup. Mm-hmm. I need to be in nature and I need to be in the forest that we have here because it's so nice. And the dogs love it and I love seeing them happy. And so it's what I love is that actually in my life now, I have the space to go, oh, I'm feeling a little bit this way. Okay, come on, dogs, let's get in the car and go down, go for a walk. And that to me is my yoga teacher moment. Because I think, no, I haven't moved to the country to become a yoga teacher. I still live in the city and, you know, but I'm starting to be able to create that space. And I know I'm lucky to do it, to go, yeah, I refuse to do that grind anymore.
Mm. Yeah, I think there comes a point where your body just says no. And I've had so many moments before where my body just said, no, Natalie, this is just a hard no. And I think the more you come up against the hard no's, you kind of have to reevaluate things. And actually, you look at things with a totally different lens. You're like, okay, so how do I make this work? What is my definition of work-life balance? What is important to me? What juices me? What fills me up? What makes me happy from the inside out that I want to get up in the morning? And you're so right. For me, it's nature too. I have to go for a walk in the forest as well. And I sit outside and enjoy the sunshine and have a cup of tea in the morning. And I'm like, yes. But I think it's having the space, because there's something about space where you get to create your day, still achieve everything you want to do it, but do it in a flexible and dynamic way with your body's rhythm. Right, isn't it? Like if your body feels like was it last week? I've been doing quite a bit, not working hard, but like doing some online learning and doing different things. And then the weekend, my body just, oh, and I ran a body gratitude challenge in my free Facebook group this past week. And I did 6 days on the trot. And on the 7th day, my body's actually, no, Natalie, you can't do this. It's a hard no. And I'm like, oh, but I'm going to disappoint people. I'm like, but actually, it's a hard no. So I ended up not going live and I was okay with it. And I just wrote a beautiful post to go with a picture. But it was not feeling guilty. It was not judging myself in that moment. It was owning and accepting that actually my body's voice is more important, right, than other people's expectations or opinions. But it's getting to that point, that healthy point where we can do that and be okay with that and know that actually my truth is my truth. And that's where my strength, my power, my connection, everything comes from.
It's so interesting because I started my own sort of freelance business, and it is challenging. And I was thinking about this the other day, that it's really funny because I think, yeah, it is challenging, but it's not as stressful for me as working in an office, which I find really intriguing. And I think part of it is that I want to do well and I want to do what I'm doing. But at the same time, yeah, I don't have to get up in the morning and rush off and catch the bus and do this, then the other, or go to a meeting and all of those things. Actually, I can get up and do what I need to do, and I don't feel that pressure of having to be anywhere at any time that I don't want to be, which for me is huge. I have to go and have a meeting or an appointment. It's like, oh.
It's fascinating because since COVID, I can't rush anymore. I just physically can't rush. Everything will go wrong if I even try and rush. Before COVID, I could multitask, I could do everything. Now there's just no way, because I think my body has literally gotten used to slowing down so much, and it's come back into balance, that where balance is now is further on down the scale compared to where I was like 18 months ago. And that was like I was on fast forward before. Now I think when you slow down, it feels like you're stationary, but you're still moving. And to people around you, I think when I work with other people, they might see you as different. But I think what's important is, as long as that this is in alignment, that this is what's so important for you to get back to you and to connect with your own inner guidance, because that's the compass. And there's so much, I call it sacred body wisdom. There's so much wisdom within our bones, within our cells, within our DNA, that when we slow down, when we connect with our own bodies, we get to tap into that.
It's really true. And I think this goes back to what we were first talking about around self-care. Mm-hmm. That I think that sometimes we get beyond the initial self-care point, and it becomes about that real deep, what is my body telling me? What is my intuition telling me? And that I relate to that not being able to rush, which is really hard for me because I'm often late for things. But yeah, sometimes your body is saying, slow the F down. You need to chill out. And this is definitely the point that I've got to several times. And it's just navigating, how do I do things differently? because you're going against the grain. You're going against.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And it feels so unnatural because you're like, but I feel like I'm standing still. I'm not moving. I'm doing so little, right? And goodness, it's going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to get frustrated. But you know what? There is the biggest gift in there, in that listening. And that's what I've learned. Every time I listen, every time I follow the instruction that my body or my wisdom or my guidance gives me, I'm like, oh, wow, there's a gift. Oh, wow. It's like a little sweet. And there's like a sweet that's being dropped or a treat that's getting dropped along the path. I'm like, okay, do that. I'll give you a treat or I'll give you a gift. And it's this never-ending, unfolding gift. That's what the body is. And the more we can connect with the body, the more that happens and the more that unfolds, that connection deepens, the deeper the wisdom. And, oh, nothing can ever take that away, ever. And I find that the more connected we are to our knowing, to our sacred wisdom, the less preoccupied we are with external validation, with seeking other people's opinions. You just know this is right for me. Therefore, I'm going to do it. Actually, no, that's not a fit. Thank you, but no thank you. You don't have to phone a friend or ask anyone because you just know. And I think it's a wonderful gift that's there for each and every one of us. That's there for the taking, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
If we want it.
Yeah. If you want it. Oh,
if you want it. Definitely.
It's, oh, I agree completely. And I find now that, yeah, if something's not right or I don't want to do something, I just have to say, no. Do not wish to do that thing, which can be really difficult if we've been taught to say yes and be a good girl and be helpful and be of service to people. But it can't be to the detriment of our well-being.
You can't give them an empty cup.
No.
And I had to learn that, like, really early on in expanding my business. I'm like, it's fascinating when you learn to find your voice and you go through the different no's. Have you experienced, like, when you first say no, it's almost like an angry no. And it's almost like people are so used to hearing yes that you almost have to shout because they're like, what did you say? Sorry, what? I said no. And you have to really raise your voice. And then, oh, okay, they're hearing me now. Okay, now I can soften. My no can become more gentle. My no can become more loving because it's being acknowledged. I'm being seen. I'm being heard. And I think, yeah, it's fascinating to witness the journey of the no.
And I think for women especially, we are socialized and conditioned to be compliant and to not to put ourselves first and to not rock the boat and all of those things. And I find that challenging because I'm a boat rocker. Because I think part of it, empathic side of me is also speaking up. No, that's not right. And so embracing those parts of ourselves, of saying, this is who I am. And if you are not comfortable with that, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to change myself for you.
Yeah. And I think there's another piece. So I say, all of me and all of you is welcome at the table. And what I mean by that is, the parts I love about myself, the parts that I've had to embrace about myself, the parts that have been hidden that I haven't shared with anyone or that have been forbidden or I've said are not allowed. But in order for me to be authentic and truly me, all of me needs to be welcomed. For us to heal from the inside, we have to welcome all facets, all aspects of ourselves.
Absolutely.
That's what I believe.
Yeah. And I think, I hope that this is, people are listening who might be in treatment, because I know that there is so much pressure to be the grateful cancer patient or the warrior or the strong or all of those things. And I think that actually you can be bloody angry at what's happening, or you can be frightened. You can be positive, absolutely. But all of those parts of your cancer experience are valid and welcome at the table. I think that's for so many situations, but I just hope that people hear that for their cancer experience, because we don't have to be anyone's inspiration. Yeah.
Because I think your journey is your own, right? And we're all going through things, situations, health crises, and each situation, there's something that we get to learn about ourselves, or we get to deepen a relationship with a certain part of ourselves, or we get to connect with an inner strength that we didn't even know we had. And so it's not about anyone else. It's just about, what am I learning about myself today? Who am I right now? Because I think when we go through like personal transformation, things can shift and change so quickly. And it's just like, where am I right now? How am I feeling? What's coming up? Who am I? What do I resonate with? And I think that dialogue is an ongoing one, because the answer is going to change constantly. As we grow and as we change, the answer is going to be different every single time.
So you mentioned before a Facebook group and things. So if people have been listening to this and they are connecting and resonating with what you're saying, where can they find you? Where can they connect with you?
Okay, so on Facebook and on Instagram, my account is called By Natalie Woodman.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a free Facebook group called Sacred Body Alchemy. So they can find me there and they can join. That's free space and container, and it's for women. So we're all there sharing sacred space, just being grateful for our bodies. And we're just walking side by side on our own journeys alongside each other. So if that's a space that people want to be welcome, want to come and join, everyone's welcome. And yeah. I think that's about it. Yeah, I'm on Twitter as well. Same, By Natalie Woodman.
Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. It has been an amazing way for me to start my day here in New Zealand as we enter into another lockdown. It's been an amazing reminder to listen to those messages my body's giving me. Thank you so much for what you've given.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. And thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed this conversation. It's been wonderful.
Thanks so much for listening. The C Word is every Sunday at 11:55 a.m. on Auckland's 104.6 Planet FM, and anytime at www.planetaudio.org.nz/the C Word.
I'm not. Wipe the sweat away from my brow. Sexy.